flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
High noon in the District of Columbia, 11 a.m. here in New Orleans.
Probably 70 degrees.
It's nice out,
man. I played golf the other day. I had to come out of this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just wearing – everybody, when I did TV last night, they were all giving me hell because I was wearing a golf shirt, and I guess it's still cold at home. Joining us now, we are really excited to have Roman Gabriel sitting down with us here at Media Row in New Orleans. Roman, I want to start here. I find this fascinating. Now, you were a Pro Bowl player, an MVP winner, but in 1962, you were the first overall draft pick in the AFL and the second overall draft pick in the NFL.
Well,
how do you decide from
what
there?
You do?
Yeah. First of all, I want to tell you that your statistics are great, but I am his oldest son. It's okay.
Okay.
My father passed away last year.
Oh, wow.
In April. But, yes, he was the MVP of the NFL in 69. He was the number one pick of the AFL and the NFL, Al Davis with the Raiders. And he was also the first Filipino quarterback.
Wow.
In the NFL. So I'm working hard to get him in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. He made it to the quarterfinals last year. And one of the reasons I'm here today is that Fathead.com and ourselves are announcing a new Roman Gabriel Legends Fathead collection.
Uh-huh.
And he and Joe Namath, Terry Bradshaw, Roger Staubach, and others.
But, okay. So all the big names.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, he's going to – you got a life-size stand-up that's going to be coming out, life-size sticker set, life-size big head.
That's cool.
And Chris Hetherington, who you played against, mm-hmm. who was a fullback for San Francisco, the Panthers, and Atlanta. Chris is an incredible friend, and he was happy to keep my father's memory alive. And, you know, our foundation – it's called the Sold Out Youth Foundation, and we do a fentanyl education program in public schools. It's the number one killer of teenagers, and Chris is a father, and so they're going to be working with us to not only highlight my father's career and keep mm-hmm. his name out there, but I want to carry on his legacy. He raised over $10 million during his life for
wow.
different charities.
Uh-huh.
You know what that's all about,
yeah.
using your platform
yeah.
to make a difference. So I just did the Rams just did a memorial for him earlier this season that they did a great job on. And we had a bunch of Rams that showed up for a foundation event about 2 weeks ago in Irvine and had a great time with all these Rams from 1969 to 2002. And I was shocked. Guys like Vince Ferragamo, mm-hmm. Ron Brown, Leroy Irvin, guys that you played against, that even past that
yeah.
said that my dad had an impact on their life. So I hear from fans all the time about how he made a difference in their lives and how, in a short time they were able to get together and make a difference.
Yeah.
So my dad's remembered as not only a great player, but somebody who used their platform
yeah.
to make a difference.
Look, I was doing an interview yesterday, and I told the lady, she asked me one thing that I would tell kids, and I said, have somebody who you respect and live your life to not let them down. So you having this opportunity to go out and push your dad's name, how important is that for you?
Well, it's incredibly important because I played pro football, came out with the Raiders in 82 and then the USFL in 83, and I was a quarterback, had a neck injury
mm-hmm.
that took me out. But when I was 7 years old, I watched my dad do it every single day and show me what a champion looks like. So I wanted to be a pro football player from the time I was seven.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really easy because I thought that every player in the NFL when you're a kid played 17 years like my dad did. I mean, he started playing when I was born and didn't finish until I graduated from high school. So, my dad was, I would say today he's kind of like a Josh Allen. He was hard to bring down, mm-hmm. big guy, great in the pocket, but he could also run the football mm-hmm. extremely effectively. So, my football career was because of watching my dad get it done every single day and giving me the impetus and the passion to mm-hmm. love football.
Before we sat down, we were talking about Jaden Daniels and, and how impressed you were with him. When you watch him as a young quarterback, what did you think of the season they put together?
I'm so impressed by Jaden Daniels because when he came out of college, you know, a lot of people said he might be a little too slender, might be a situation where he could get hurt easily. But, you know, he's smart. You know, a lot of these guys today don't get down. He gets out of bounds. He gets down. He doesn't seem to take a lot of big shots, which in the NFL today, you know, you got to live to play another down. So he reminds me a little Patrick Mahomes because Patrick makes sure he stays up and upright. But what I like about him is he goes through his progressions really quickly. Mm-hmm. And if the play's not a good play, you know, one of the things my dad used to say, getting rid of the football and living to punt is not a bad thing, you know, in a football game. Play field position and make the plays when you can make them, and he certainly has done that. And in the playoffs, he was money. And you know, all you can hope for in a veteran quarterback is when the game's on the line that he's going to get it done, and he did it all year long. So it's really fantastic what he's accomplished. And now that Redskins know they can build around a guy, and they got a lot of people. They got a lot of skilled people. You know, you guys need a couple of players here and there, but this is a team that has Super Bowl aspirations.
As you look at this Super Bowl coming up, everybody keep asking me because I played for Philly, but I was under Andy Reid. And I'm kind of – I'm an Andy Reid dork, I would guess I say. Pat Mahomes, does he kind of sway this game? Because I think Philly has the better overall team. But they have a magician.
Brian, you know this. If you get to this – with the way the confidence they play with and the situationally they love close games, and when there's close game, they're going to win the game. It's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. Andy Reid, you know, puts together a game plan that I think he and Spags save it for the end of the game.
Yeah.
Stuff that you haven't seen, like they did on the blitz the last play against Buffalo, which was amazing to hold out that blitz for the fourth
that
down
long,
play. Yeah, exactly. But here's the way I look at it. Buffalo ran the ball really well in the second half. If Saquon doesn't run the ball, you know this, 25, 30 times, they're not going to win.
All right.
Because they got great people on the outside. If they could get Kansas City to stop the run, then Jalen can make some plays down the field because he's got a lot of talent. But if it comes down to Patrick Mahomes gets the ball the last time they have the ball, they're going to win. So you got it. To beat the champs, you got to beat the champs.
Yeah.
You know, Buffalo was playing it too close to the vest. You can't count on a fourth and inches of somebody else's field to win.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's going to be a fascinating matchup because they just played a couple years ago, kind of came down to the wire, and I think Philly is significantly better now than they were then, you know, but so's KC. they got alligator blood, man.
Well, KC's what they got going for him this year, and that's what I think Patrick understands is he doesn't have to be Superman.
Yeah.
He just needs to put the cape on when he needs it. Their defense is super. They don't give up big plays. They're great man-to-man defense, so Spags can blitz a bunch because his secondary behind him is going to play well.
Sure.
So that's why I think their weakness is when Buffalo ran the ball at them, they had a great deal of success. But how do you not give it to your best back the last two series? That killed him.
Yeah.
So I really think Philadelphia, if they're able to establish a run, if Saquon gets over 100 yards, they win the game. These games come down to who can run the football and who can stop the run, and both these teams are pretty good at that.
Tell us a little bit about all the work you do, the Sold Out Foundation.
You know, I started this foundation in 2008. I and my wife have been involved in drug and alcohol education and abstinence education since 1997. So we're very proud of this organization. My dad was as well because he was all about kids and all about giving back to the next generation. As you guys know, post-COVID and with this fentanyl problem in our country that's become the number one killer of kids in our country, it's devastating. Mm-hmm. It's a poison that can be in food. It's a poison that a kid can order a fake pill online.
It's crazy.
Laced with fentanyl. It can be in vape, marijuana. So unlike the cocaine problem of the 70s, this is poison. It's odorless. Tasteless. It costs about $1 a pill, and parents and kids alike don't know what it is. So this, we're working with the DEA. They have a one pill kills program. Ours is an online program for K-12 public schools, and we basically educate every administrator, staff member, parent, and student about the dangers of fentanyl. Mm-hmm. Here's what's terrible. Kids get their phone in fourth grade. Their parents give them to them for a safety item. Hey, if you get in trouble, call me. Well, the problem is places like Snapchat and TikTok are actually targeting our kids with these fake fentanyl pills online. Mm. And the kids don't know any better. And seven of those 10 pills are laced with fentanyl.
Yeah.
And 42% of those seven have enough to kill you. So this isn't a chance thing. If you're experimenting and you're an innocent kid who says, hey, I got the right to do that, like all of our generations did,
yeah.
but we couldn't die.
Yeah.
So there's enough fentanyl in the country that's come over. Even if you close the border today, we've got enough to kill people one and two times over. So what we're doing with this can't for your fans out there, hashtag tackling fentanyl is what we're doing. I need you to go to soldouttv.com. At the top of that page, we have a fentanyl education program that you can get on the privacy of your own phone at home. Soldouttv.com. Just click on fentanyl education. Send the link to your friends. Send it to your fellow, to your students. Send it to your coworkers. Because 90% of these are accidental deaths are preventable.
Yeah,
they're preventable. So go to the site. And cool thing is you can send the link out to anybody you want. It's free from our organization. That way you can sit down with your kids, tell them the dangers of this, so that when they do make decisions, they're making it with the right facts.
I think a lot of people always think that you're trying to use fear tactics. But, hell, if one pill can kill you, then all of a sudden you might want to think have a little fear with it, because I think a lot of kids are willing to try and do everything.
Right.
And if you know that if I make this decision, it could be it.
Right.
You may not make that decision.
Well, we have five kids in Amherst, Virginia last year, 10-year-olds, that were poisoned by gummy bears in their lunch.
Wow, oh my God.
So we're not talking about kids that are drug addicts. We're not talking about kids that have a drug problem. We're just talking about innocent kids who have a friend who says, hey, I got some vape from a guy I trust.
Yeah.
Or I went online and I bought this Xanax. Same thing with college students during finals. You know, they go on, they want to stay awake, they order a Xanax. They're printed and pressed to look exactly like the pharmaceutical pill. But everybody, to your fans and to your people that listen, the only place to have guarantees is at a pharmacy. If you're purchasing anything that looks like a pharmaceutical pill or even recreational drugs or vape online, you're putting yourself in danger because that stuff's out there. So go to our website, go to the education. Parents, educate your kids, and hopefully we can cut down the hospitalizations and deaths with this.
Seriously, man. Well, Roman, thank you for the time, man. Hopefully folks learn.
Appreciate you, man.
SoldOutTV.com, right?
Yeah, and I'll be in touch with you guys. The Roman Gabriel Fathead Collection should be coming out here in a couple of months, and we'll definitely get you guys, send you something and get you the messaging, because we're really excited about
that. Well, they say we already have Fathead Collections. We just walk around every day with it.
Both of you guys have the Fathead going.
Roman, thank you very much, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Sold Out is the foundation. Plenty more information there. Check out the Fatheads. We got a break real quick. Nobody go anywhere. We're going to get into Goodell, Wentz, Dotson, a whole lot more coming up. It's B. Mitchell Finley from New Orleans.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan, coming to you live from Media Row, or Radio Row, as they call it. We call it Media Row, live from the Convention Center here in New Orleans as we get ready for Super Bowl 59. I put the Commanders in the Super Bowl.
That'd be cool.
Chiefs taking on.
That'd be a lot cooler.
The Philadelphia Eagles. So interesting things going on around here, but it's getting packed.
Yeah, man, it's definitely filling in here. We had Roger Goodell speaking yesterday at length, right?
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. I don't even know that I really feel like exploring this, but. Cody Betts just had a hell of a – I think Cody Betts really enjoyed our interview there. Cody Betts just sent a picture of Nancy Reagan saying, just say no, which is correct, man. That stuff's no joke. I'm not gonna make it.
Hey, but the stuff about that, that's some serious crap. I've done a few PSAs about it, and you'd be amazed where people get it at. So.
I think yesterday – with Goodell was pretty fascinating, Brian, and a lot of what he said that stood out to me, he said there's still, he basically was like, we are a long way away from 18-game season. How far away do you actually think they are?
A year or two. I think they're trying to push it as much as they can, but I really believe that the NFLPA and their people better realize you don't just flow into this thing. You make sure that the players are highly compensated for the extra games. If you have sat here and you have all this stuff about people getting beat up and hurt in 16 games, you added the 17th one now just to throw another one in, you know, you better make sure they're going to be taken care of.
I think – whenever the NFLPA has a press conference, I think Friday. What's your guy's name? I know that's your boy. The new head of the PA, the new executive director.
Lloyd
Howell, maybe?
Yeah.
I am very curious to see how he handles this, because if it's growth at all costs, then you take the extra game and you get more money out of it. But at what point, I mean, you were a union rep, like at what point does that balancing act get difficult?
About the money?
Adding an extra game versus getting more money.
Well, I don't think it's not a balancing act. If you add an extra game, I need to get more money. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't come like, because they're going to get more money if they add another game. Why shouldn't the players get the same thing? And then on top of it, you're going to also have to add another damn bye week. You got to figure this thing out. But the league normally promotes it as, oh, the fans want it, and the fans always want it. But if you were complaining when it was 16 games and players getting hurt and you add two more, you have to believe that that's going to put more wear and tear on them. So how do you normally make most people happy no matter what the situation is? You line their damn pockets. And the league can easily give these players the ton of money. Like, my thing is, if we're making 1-7 in a 17-game season, and then I come in an 18-game season, you can't tell me I have a contract for 1.7. That right. Contract needs to be 1.8 to 9 or 1.9. Because you add in the game, you need to add that prorated amount to my contract as well. That's where I think it goes. And the minimums need to go up if we add an extra game to it.
Well, especially the minimums need to go up because you're probably going to churn through more players. Like, by the end of a 17-game regular season at this point, you have a bunch of different players kind of on your roster. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, the bottom 10 roster spots are kind of churning through. Now, they've done a good job of expanding the roster size, like the practice squad rules, all that stuff. And I just think it's going to be fascinating to see. It certainly seems like it's coming. Do you think that?
The 18 game? Yeah, I believe it's coming. But one thing I also know, Lloyd is a money guy. And he believes in people getting their fair share. I don't think this is going to be like it used to be, where we're going to just go and litigate everything. No, no, no. If we're going to be partners and move forward, the players are going to be taken care of properly.
Let's hope they get it.
I don't think they can. There's no, like, this league is not being hurt by anything when it comes down to finances. You know, we just heard how much Jerry Jones' team is worth. We saw what the Commanders sold for. We got teams that were normally teams that don't even work to sell their stuff. Their values are going way up. The league is winning.
Sure.
And nobody is watching Goodell. Nobody is watching these owners, they're watching the players. So the players should be giving their fair share. Every time something goes up, get your share. And I think you can make people cool with that. But if you just try to throw something at me and you don't bring my fair share, then I'm going to have a problem with everybody.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to watch how that shakes out. And I just – the other part of this is, how far out do they have Super Bowls booked? Do we know that? Like,
normally they have it like 2 years or so, 3 years ahead. But they already got a line of people waiting to where they now.
Next year is Santa Clara, and then I think the year beyond that is back to L.A., is back to SoFi. I'm curious. So I think they have it. This is Super Bowl 25, Louisiana. Okay.
59.
Next year is 60, Santa Clara. 61, looks like L.A. And then 28, January of 28 is Atlanta.
Okay.
Now, these venues. So that is the next three beyond this Sunday, right?
Mm-hmm.
These venues book up and out years in advance.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Like, only the next two have dates. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, because they have to figure out that date for the next one because they don't know.
Right. But that, to me, tells you. So if February 8th is booked in California next year, they're clearly not going to 18 next year.
Uh-huh.
And Valentine's Day is the Super Bowl in L.A. 2 years from now.
And that's the 14th.
That's the 14th.
That's basically like a week later.
It
they
starts
can possibly
to
move
look
into
like
there. You
right.
know what I mean?
So some of that could be Labor Day or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. how it all kind of intermingles. But that starts to get quite interesting. So that is what, February 14th of 27. If you just back out the date, that is a full week later.
Yeah.
So that would mean.
But my question is, you add the 18th. I would hope if you add an 18th game, everybody has a bye by week 10. You know what I mean? No one should have to go like Washington did this. What they went all the way to week, what, 12?
Dude, I think it was closer to 13.
13, 14, whatever it is. Everyone should be having a bye. This is what I'm like talking about. We watch this team make money, and I'm going to be honest with you. You can be a damn idiot and make money in the NFL because people are spending it.
We've seen it.
Yeah, we see it over and over again.
Sell a team for $6 billion.
But you can't damn tell me you don't think about how to make it for people.
Their bye was week 14.
So you should never – if you're going to try to add another game, you need to make sure the byes are by the latest, week 9 or 10. And if you are going to have a team play until week 15 before they get a bye, then you're lying about everything that you say. This, and I think the PA, just like the league think they're strong on. The PA got to be able to come back at them with some stuff too. We're not going to allow guys to play for straight 15 weeks. If it's, you're doing this stuff because you claim that it's about safety, then you can't make one team play till week 15 and the other team – one team take a bye week 2 or 3, and then they got to play the rest of the damn year. No, that doesn't bode well with me.
I hear you. Do you think the league, the PA, will be strong enough to stand up to that?
Because I think the last deal was done, like, in a sense to make certain people feel good about themselves, not necessarily to take care of the players. I think moving forward, it's going to always be money that's going to be taking care of the players. I believe that. One small conversation that I had with Lloyd, I believe that his mindset is don't run around talking about we're partners and then we're only partners when you're trying to benefit. We're partners all the way through this thing.
All right, so this is interesting. So President's Day weekend is the third Monday of February.
Okay.
That third Monday.
That's about the one we're trying to push to President's Day weekend?
Well, then the Monday after the Super Bowl is a holiday.
Yeah. They should have been tried that one. You know, get it where people can have a time to recuperate. Because Super Bowl Sunday is a rough day for a lot of folks.
For sure. For sure. I think it – I don't know. Kind of interesting to watch all this unfold, man. And it gets harder and harder to think – it's not coming. As much as Goodell's going to play cool, you know what I mean? Like, I think I think everybody kind of recognizes once the wheels of this league. Dude, did I tell you where I had dinner last night?
Right.
So, before media night, they had a media workroom set up at the Superdome.
Mm-hmm.
And they provided a meal. And it was fine. It was like chicken breasts and salad, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing awesome, but it was fine. Yeah. I got some more food later, but do you know where the NFL created the media workroom?
Where?
It was a parking lot outside of the Superdome.
A garage.
Okay.
And they turned it into
a eating area?
They put up walls. They had tables and desks. Like, I thought.
Put up walls and stuff. That's cool. I mean, I went out to Gallo and they had all of the.
There's nothing these people can't do is what I'm saying.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like when I went there, instead of going find a restaurant, they say we're gonna move some barrels out, put some stuff up, boom, boom, boom. This is the restaurant inside the cellars.
Yeah, man, they know what they're doing. And that's why I just think, like, all right, if they're saying they're gonna get to 18, they're gonna get to 18, and if the fact that the Super Bowl 2 years from now, it's not that far away, is scheduled for President's Day weekend, I doubt it's an accident.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
Right. Listen, man, one thing about them, we say it all the time. You and I agree on this. You know, we may disagree on some stuff, but we end up at this. If the NFL wants it, they normally get it.
Yeah.
And I think that the PA has to understand the NFL can't get anything without your players. So if they want to get it, and you know they're going to get it, you need to make sure your guys are taken care of along the way.
I agree with that. All right, I want Ahmed's texting us this, and I think you're going to care about this.
Well, I just hit him.
Well, forget him. Tell the audience that's listening. So there's a lot. I've heard this conversation because there has never been a three-peat in the NFL. No team has ever won three in a row. And I get Pat Riley may have trademarked it, but it doesn't mean we can't say the word. Kansas City's going for their third Super Bowl in a row. This was kind of interesting. I think Nick Wright actually said this on a podcast I was listening to, that the Eagles have actually already broken up another three-peat attempt because it went Pats in, if I have my dates right, I think the Pats won in 16, then they lost to the Eagles in 17, and then they won in 18.
Yeah.
So if they beat the Eagles, they might have already had a three-peat.
Yeah.
Nobody's ever done that. Mahomes right now has three Super Bowl wins in 7 years.
Yeah.
He's going for four in eight,
and we're
including
in five.
The first ever three-peat.
Yeah.
As a country, recency bias is a real, very real thing.
It is.
What do you think the conversation starts to turn to when, I think when immediately you compare Mahomes
I think,
and Brady?
I think Stephen A. may say some outlandish stuff. I believe that people will start saying exactly what Stephen A. said. And the reason I'll say it is this, Ahmed. If you really look at the run that he had in New England, there are like two of those wins, Super Bowl, where the offense stunk. And Vinatieri came in and bailed him out. The defense, you know, some other games bailed him out.
Early on in the Patriots' run, it was definitely defensive-driven.
Yeah, I'm saying, but, like, the thing of it would be this. Tom played 21 years, right? And he won seven Super Bowls.
Yeah.
He participated in 10.
Yeah.
If Pat wins this one, that would be four in 8 years. He would have participated in five. And people don't ever say, well, he probably won't participate in more. They're going to automatically assume he's going to participate in some more of them, right? And you will see, you will definitely see a contingent start to say he's a guy. Because he would have won 50% of them. 50% of the games that he was, the Super Bowl that he was in the league. Not the ones that he had participated in. He'll be at 80% if he goes with that in the first eight years of his career. And I think people will automatically, because this is not the first. This is the thing you got to realize. Stephen A. don't normally just talk about stuff. Just sometimes talk about it. I've been hearing people talk about this all year. You know, people been mentioning this stuff all year. So he's not the first guy to have said that.
I agree with that. I don't know that I could go there yet, but the path Mahomes is on. I said it. I think after he won his first, that he was on a path to maybe be the GOAT. I think the one dude in our recency bias world that we, I don't, disrespect might be too strong of a word, but it is not considered enough is Joe Montana.
Mm-hmm. But see, yeah, Joe was great, but you got to realize when Joe rolled out, Steve rolled in and won another Super Bowl. So that's those you always have those people like, okay, when Washington 91 team, what people say? Oh, that wasn't a great. They didn't have no great individual. They had a great team. Well, what is this? Football team, right? And Joe was exceptional. Didn't have the strongest arm. He just threw the SOB right on point all the time. Okay? He won, I think, a total of three of them.
Four. Montana?
Yeah.
Four.
Four, and then I thought Steve was on one of those sort of things, but
that they have five. I think Montana has
five,
four. Total,
okay. So he wins four.
Undefeated in all Super Bowls, never lost.
But when you that team also
loaded.
Was loaded on both sides of the ball.
Sure,
you know, but still, Joe. Whenever people start asking me the best, Joe's still involved.
Well,
but like recency, younger folks, they don't want to talk about Joe. Joe, listen, I sat on the sideline.
I imagine Jeff wants nothing to do with the Joe.
I sat on the sideline, dog, and I watched Joe Montana throw pass after pass where the receiver we were playing against in the old field they had. What was the old field they had out there in
Candlestick
Park?
Yeah.
Every pass land right past the finger of Alvin Walton and other DBs and land right in the hands of their players. I was on the sideline because I used to say he's not that good. His arm's not that strong. You look for the strong arm.
Right.
That dude put on a damn clinic that day. And I left that game saying, you know what, this dude is as good as anything I've ever seen.
Just an absolute monster, man.
Yes.
Montana was a monster. I, I don't know that I'm ready to say Mahomes is the dude, but damn, he's getting close.
He's getting close.
And you win this one.
And I think that, like the thing of it, he may not be, but you start to guess that he could be because look what he's done so quickly.
Totally. It's what he's been able to do that fast is just to get the hell just to get the 3-7. Let's ignore this weekend's events is outrageous. I mean, think about what he's got more Super Bowl wins than John Elway and Dan Marino combined.
He would have if he were to win. He had more Super Bowl be just like Tom Brady has more. He would have had more Super Bowl wins at 4 than most teams also. Tom has more than anybody. But you think about if he does that in 8 years, what do you start thinking about in the next 8 years?
Like the infrastructure, having Andy, I don't know how long you have Kelsey, but having Chris Jones, like they're just loaded, man, and there's no reason to think it's not going to continue. We're going to take a quick break here. Going to go around the NFL, think about some moves that could happen. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. The FanDuel Kick of Destiny is back, and this time it's every Manning for himself. This Super Bowl, two legends will take the field in a sudden-death field goal showdown. Peyton versus Eli, live from New Orleans. One kick to claim ultimate family bragging rights. Who will rise to the moment? Pick your winner now in the FanDuel app, and if you back the right brother, you'll earn a share of $10 million in bonus bets. It's the FanDuel Kick of Destiny 3. Make your free pick, and don't forget to tune in and watch the showdown live during the Super Bowl 59 pregame show on Fox at 3 p.m. Eastern. May the best Manning win. Download the app or head to FanDuel.com/Brian and bet with FanDuel, official partner of Super Bowl 59. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. No purchase necessary. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet that expires 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537.
I'm Earl Forsey. This sports update is presented by IT Cadre. Trusted insight from trusted insiders, itcadre.com. Super Bowl week continues as we cover things down in New Orleans. Lots of other sports going on locally, though. The Wizards on a winning streak. They won again last night, beating Charlotte 124-114. Bilal Coulibaly led the way with 26. Wizards winning back-to-back games for the first time since late October. They will look for 3 in a row at Brooklyn tomorrow night. Capitals, the opposite is true for them. They're trying to snap a 2-game skid, hosting Florida tonight, 7 p.m. faceoff for Caps hockey here in the Fan. Caps have lost 3 of 4, but Ovi scored the other night, so 18 away now from breaking Wayne Gretzky's all-time scoring record. IT Cadre's trusted insight, helping leaders of the nation's most important organizations understand complexity, align efforts, and make the best data-driven decisions to achieve success. IT Cadre, your vision, our purpose. To learn more, visit itcadre.com. That's itcadre.com. From the Crop Metcalf 5-star sports desk, I'm Earl Forsey on the Fan.
What a man, what a man, what a man, what a mighty good man.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. One thing I was bummed about, Jameis Winston was at media night last night. I didn't see him, man. I'd like to think I would have noticed Jameis. He's a big old unit, man. Here's what I'd like to do. Last night I did get to catch up with Jahan Dotson. Obviously a weird year. There was a lot of excitement. I remember people calling into the show and telling us Commanders
made a mistake.
Early people were calling in and telling me the Commanders have a top 5 receiver room because of Terry and Jahan. Clearly things went sideways. Jahan gets traded in August. Now he's in the Super Bowl with the Philadelphia Eagles. Caught up with him last night. You and I have done a lot of interviews. How different is everything nowadays?
A lot different. It's a lot different. But it's really cool. You know, I'm taking it all in, enjoying the process. Just enjoying being here and, yeah, living every day to the max.
There's no way this is on your mind. A year ago today was when Dan Quinn was hired. Mm-hmm. Like, how much has your life changed in the last year?
A lot. If I wrote a book about the last year of my life, you'd be amazed. But, you know, it's been awesome. Through faith, through trusting in the process, trusting in my plans, you know, I'm living out my dreams. So it's honestly a dream come true that I'm able to be here and be where I'm at, knowing the things that I've been through. It's pretty awesome.
I mean, you're at the Super Bowl. This has got to feel incredible. I mean, you guys have an opportunity to take down the Chiefs, stop the three-peat. Do you allow yourself to kind of get in that moment?
Yeah, for sure, a little bit. Obviously, early in the week, knowing that you're here, everything's kind of brand new to me. And just taking it all in. But, you know, we came down here for a game. It's a business trip at the end of the day. We're trying to leave with a ring on our finger.
What was it like playing Washington in the NFC title game to get here?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was a great experience, especially coming out on top. It was really cool. We knew they were a good opponent, going to give us a lot of fits, but we managed to come out with a big victory.
Have there been, like, after the trade and stuff, were you hurt? Were there some low moments there?
I wouldn't say I was hurt. It's all a part of business. And it's a part of your everyday life. Sometimes you get hit with adversity. You got to move on and just make the most of your opportunities. And that's what I did when I came here. Just trying to make the most of every opportunity I've been dealt with. So, you know, it's been awesome. And I'm enjoying my time.
And, I mean, how do you get ready for this game? I know you guys all approach everything day by day by day, but Super Bowl, dude. I mean, this is nuts. I don't even know what's going on over there. Like, how do you mentally lock in for this?
You know, being around a bunch of great guys on this team, it's really easy to get caught up in your preparation. That's the thing that guys on this team take very seriously, from the coaching staff down to the players. Everyone prepares like champions. And it's the reason that we're here today. It's the reason I'm here today. Because, you know, we prepare like no other. So we're not going to treat this any differently than the NFC Championship, than the divisional round, than week 18, week 17. You know, we're coming in here. We know this is really cool being here, Super Bowl and everything. But, you know, we came here to get a victory.
Gotcha. Hey, man, good luck. Thank you for taking some time.
Yep.
It's been wild to watch this. And then the NFC title game was like, wow. Like, John's there and everybody's here. It's just nuts, man.
It's pretty crazy.
You going to play what is it, Madden?
Madden, I guess. I haven't played it yet this year, so we'll see how my skills shape up.
You're in the Super Bowl. That's got to be easier, right?
Right.
Thanks, dude.
Yep.
All right, that was Jahan Dotson. What'd you think, B?
Seeing a little bit more. I'm not saying subdued, but, like, he's learned some stuff. And, you know, and, like, let's be real. It's part of the business, but, damn, you still get hurt. Anytime somebody questions you or don't think you're the guy, that hurts your feelings, you know, hands down, point blank.
I think he did a good job of kind of keeping it cool and not saying, yeah, it pissed me off or whatever.
Yeah, but if he had said it pissed him off, what's wrong with that?
Right.
You know, because most guys will tell you somebody let you go, that's motivation. And when you get motivated, sometimes you're pissed, you're upset, you want to prove a point. Or you look deep inside of yourself, as I stated earlier, and you figure out what you need to do better. And if that sparked that, it all worked out.
Yeah, I agree. It's been a I don't know, man. I think we can, as a group, like, be cool with Jahan. They got a third-round pick back for him that they used to flip to get Marshon Lattimore. They still have three picks in the top 80, mm-hmm. You know? Like, wish Jahan well. He played much better in Washington than he has in Philly. It's weird, the kind of the regression of his career from what was a really good rookie season.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those things that I wonder, and maybe it's specific to Scott Turner, who's with the Jets now. I don't know kind of the how or where it lands, but, like, maybe he's a system guy and he's just got to be in the right system. I don't know.
But if that's the case, then every system is not the same. You could be out the league.
Right.
And, like, when it happened, I said there were things I felt he needed to learn.
Sure.
Maybe. And I still feel he has to learn that, because just like when we have a draft, we always say we got to wait a few years to see if the draft was good. Everybody immediately go, oh, that was a great draft.
Right.
You don't know that.
Right.
You don't know it until you see the guy play and see how they stick on.
Right.
And right now, he's playing in a Super Bowl. Okay? That doesn't mean he got exceptionally better.
Totally.
So you would know in a year or two, did that thing really work for him? Did he learn? Because if he's still with Philly and performing, yes. If he's not in somewhere else, you start questioning what's going on.
That was Jahan Dotson. Nobody go anywhere. B. Mitchell Finley live, Media Row, New Orleans. Coming right back.